Hello, and welcome to Letters from the Lunchroom, a podcast by Communities and Schools of Mid-America. I'm your host, Victoria Partridge. Communities and Schools is a nationwide nonprofit which connects students and their families to local resources in order to remove barriers so that they will have greater success in school and in life. During this podcast, we talk to people who have a relationship with our organization. From students to staff members and alumni to volunteers, we know that people who connect with nonprofits have a story that led them there, and we want to know that story. Today's episode is another in our town hall series. Episodes featuring this title will have been recorded at the 2019 Leadership Town Hall, an annual event in which people from Communities and Schools affiliates across the nation gather to learn, share, and network. In this episode, we welcome CIS of Chicago student Najee Adams to the lunchroom. Our episode begins with audio from the first time that Najee steps foot on stage to talk in front of more than 500 people. Afterwards, we get to talk one-on-one with Najee to develop deep into her journey with CIS. Please stay tuned for Najee's CIS story.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 2019 Leadership Town Hall. Please welcome to the stage the CEO of Communities and Schools of Chicago, Jane Metzinger, and CIS of Chicago student Najee Richardson.
Good afternoon, I should say. I'm Jane.
And I'm Najee.
And we're here to say, welcome to Chicago. Najee and I swore to each other before we came up here that we wouldn't talk about any of the usual Chicago suspects.
Yep, not a word about deep dish pizza and Chicago style hot dogs.
Or a peep about the Cubs versus the Sox.
Same thing goes for O'Hare and Midway.
And we're definitely not going to talk about that awful polar vortex that we had to deal with last winter.
Instead, we want to tell you a Chicago story about a sixth grade girl from Inglewood in the heart of the South Side.
That young lady was bright and full of talent, but she wasn't very confident growing up. And early on, she struggled to recognize and see her own smarts and her own beauty.
In fact, she was bullied just because of the way she looked. This made her so mad, and she sometimes got into fights because of it.
But during sixth grade, there was an organization called CIS of Chicago that placed a psych coordinator in her school. That dedicated and highly trained CIS team member started working with her on a regular basis.
This CIS psych coordinator helped the young lady set personal goals for herself and taught her strategies that helped her feel that she was amazing in her own skin and that she was powerful.
The rest, as I like to say, is CIS history. Today, that young lady is thriving. Repeat, thriving. Earlier this month, she started her eighth grade year at her Southside school. She expects this year will look a lot like last year, for she's earning good grades and she's becoming a leader in a peer group, helping other students resolve conflicts peacefully.
Just as important, she's starting the new school year with the confidence to feel beautiful in her own skin, to see that her black is beautiful.
And she started seriously thinking about graduating from high school and becoming a motivational speaker.
As you may have guessed by now, the young lady in this story is none other than me, Najee Adams.
Would you mind telling me, just introduce yourself to our audience, pretty please.
Hello, everyone. My name is Najee Adams, and I am 13 years old. I am currently an eighth grader at King Academy in Inglewood of Chicago. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay. And we're talking to you here in Chicago at Leadership Town Hall, which Communities and Schools puts on every single year. And you are here as part of the What We Are Made Of / Mosaic project. And my goal with this podcast is to get to know you more. I know you've been just kind of telling your story left, right, and all of that. But honestly, I got to tell you, I'm particularly interested in talking to you in this interview. I didn't know, I mean, because I met you briefly out by registration, and I think you were just like just signing in, and I was running off to go do something else. I think I was trying to find food for myself, actually. And I didn't know how old you were. And then whenever you were up on stage, I think that's whenever you mentioned that you're 13 years old and you're an eighth grader. And I like tears like welled up in my eyes because I'm a single mom. My daughter is 13 and she's an eighth grader. And so to me, I feel instantly just like a little bit of a personal connection to you.
Yeah.
We don't know each other. I am sorry if that is weird.
Come on, girl. We do know each other.
But I just... it's so close to my heart to be talking to you and knowing that this bit of your story. I know that whenever I watched your video that you mentioned, that you were also a victim of bullying and that kids were being extremely cruel to you based on the way that you look. And, you also mentioned that as you overcame that, that you, how did you word it? That you, embraced the fact that black is beautiful.
Yes.
Is that how you, and so therefore I assume that kids were picking on you based on your skin color.
It wasn't based on my skin color. It was as how I appeared. It was, my features that I had, not because I was black. I just felt as if I was ugly and my blackness didn't matter.
Well, I hate that, for the record, that you were bullied based on your appearance. A lot of us were bullied based on our appearance. And I know that you sat in as I was talking to NAEs and that she also was bullied based on her appearance. And you guys have two very different appearances, you know? And bullying has such a massive, massive impact on everybody. I mean, honestly, and to be somebody who is younger, who is going through the, just the personal changes that somebody who is in middle school, whenever your chemistry within your body is changing, your hormones are kicking in different ways. And then to have these outside people coming in and passing their judgment based on something as trivial as your appearance is so unfortunate.
Yes.
So you overcame some of those challenges and hardships with support courtesy of your CIS site coordinator. What's your site coordinator's name?
Her name is Artisha Williams. She was switched to another school for my eighth grade year. So in the end of my seventh grade year, she wasn't able to see me grow into eighth grade. But we were communicating today about my big day. And after I had got done with the panel and everything, she wished me a good luck for continuously anything that she just has a lot of. She has a very important impact on me. She's got me to where I'm at now. Like, honestly, I don't know what I would do without her. She's helped me get into this mindset of like, this is you. You can't listen to no one else. No one else can tell you how to do things or certain ways that you should look like. This is you. You should love yourself for that. And so she's helped me a lot.
I mean, she's right. I know it can be hard, though. You know, especially if you are hearing all of this input from other people who have no right to pass judgment upon you or anybody else for that matter. But I know it can be difficult. And I'm glad that she was there to help you, you know, have that extra support and that, you know, courage and confidence behind you to stand up and do things. Because I saw you stand up and talk in front of over 500 people today.
I was low-key nervous.
It was amazing, though. You did a really great job. And I was so impressed. I mean, I've never done that. I know that I have some ideas that would put me into that position. And even though the whole like idea that I have sounds fun, but, you know, like the whole like concept of like going to town hall and getting to share your story is fun, but then it's like actually like logistically, like,
oh, I have to get in front of people. Like, I have to do that. Wait, what?
Right.
I've heard about that before.
Right. Like, that's scary.
But I know that you're here with some really good people, with other mm-hmm. kids who were part of that project as well. And then, of course, everybody here that's in this event, we're all working with communities and schools, and we all are, yeah. you know, here supporting you guys, the students.
It's a lot of you all. Huh? It's a lot of you all.
Yeah.
I never would have imagined.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And, you know, this is not even everybody.
What?
No, yeah, this is just a few people. So, for example, I work for CIS of Mid-America. I live mm-hmm. in Kansas, and there are approximately 80-ish people that work for our agency, but only about a fourth of us came to this. Mm-hmm. So it's the same with like everybody else here in the network. All of these CIS affiliates, we just sent certain people here. I actually don't know how many people total work for communities and schools throughout the entire United States. I do know how many kids we help, though. It's 1.6 million.
Yes, I do know that.
Which is amazing. It yeah. blows my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you, like, from my point of view as somebody who works for communities and schools, every single one of those 1.6 million kiddos is so important. Mm-hmm. Like if I was to be given the opportunity to hear everybody's story, I would just love to.
Yeah. I would too.
So, tell me your story, because some people here on this podcast that are listening, they are not going to know your story. They may mm-hmm. not take the opportunity to go to whatwearemadeof.us and go see it in more detail and go see your amazing portrait that was created by that mosaic artist.
Yeah.
So tell me your story and okay. tell me how it got you into being connected with communities and schools.
So when I was in fifth grade, everything changed. Like I didn't have the enthusiasm that I used to have. I didn't have the courage to do anything. I didn't want to go to school. I didn't want to do anything. I fell into deep depression, and I wanted to commit suicide because I just felt as if no one loved me. My dad, he's still gone. And it's like, you have a daughter here, but you're choosing not to be a part of her life. And she's growing. Like, every female needs a father. And just any child, they need their father to teach them things, because not all females or not all male figures can teach what your biological father can teach you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was kind of hard. I kind of eased out a little bit going into sixth grade. Things were a little bit better. But when I came within the second week of that school year, I was bullied for no reason. It was just, I was quiet. I was respectful. I stayed to myself. And since my school that I'm currently at now, the school is in Inglewood, so it's the south side of Chicago. And many may say, oh, that's where the ghetto kids are, the kids that have no respect. And I wouldn't put it that way. I would just put it as they don't have respect for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order for you to have respect for yourself, you have to have an example at home. And that's one of the things that many of them at my school, they don't.
Yeah.
And so I came there because I was raised in a formally taught household. I was told my manners, and not saying that they didn't have any, but they didn't have all. And so I was just thinking, like, what have I done to receive this? I haven't said anything to anyone, nothing about nothing. Like, I'm just me, and I'm just minding my business doing my work. And so I was often compared to many things and many people that didn't have the best features. I was just put down. The shoes I had on, my hair being short, clothes that I wear, just like anything, any possible thing that showed me, it was like, that's not it. Like, you can't do that. You can't do that. And I'm just like, what have I done to receive that? And so I went back into deep depression. I felt as if there was no point in me being here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had ups and downs with my weight. 1 minute I wanted to lose, next minute I wanted to gain, next minute I wanted to lose and gain, and then I never knew where to stop. I didn't know the just right body type. I didn't know anything about that. And so my site coordinator, she had just came when I came in my sixth grade year, and she was like, I want to work with you. She was so determined to work with me because she saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. I had gotten to so many fights there, like at least 2 fights, but I was violent 3 times because everyone was messing with me. And in 5th grade, I let everyone walk over me. And so in 6th grade, I came with the mindset of no fights, no nothing I'm going to say to myself. And that was always something that I always had that mindset. But with me, I'll hold something in and I'll bottle it up until I can't anymore. And I'll just let everything out, anger, any issues, any personal, any anything. And so there were 2 times where... actually 3. One, my first altercation was with a girl, and she was younger than me, actually. She was about a year younger than me, or she was probably a year older than me. I can't remember. But she called me a female dog, and I didn't appreciate that. And I told her not to because that wasn't very respectful, and I take my schoolwork very seriously, and which I didn't have time to finish it. So I was a little aggravated, and she kept on, and I could do nothing but react in a way that I never wanted to. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I told you to stop. And I didn't want to react in that way. But it's like, I can't hold it anymore. I'm not going to let you walk over me. And then there were 2 more incidents where it was just always something about me. And anything that I said is shut up. You can't. No, don't do this. Don't do that. And I'm not the type of person to let. You're not going to control me. That's just that. You're not. And so working within the CIS organization, I found to love myself and not care what anyone thought of me. My ex-site coordinator, she actually put together a My Black is Beautiful group, in which I was the leader of. And so we gathered girls from my class as well as the class below me, and just trying to bring their self-esteem up. We had watched a documentary of African-American females across the world, and there was one, I believe she lived in Africa or a part of Africa, and they had bleach cream for your screen, for your skin. And so it really broke my heart because I was just like, why in God's world would someone make something like this to tear people down even more, to make them feel like, if that's actually there, I'm going to go get it because I feel this way. Mm-hmm. And so that broke my heart to see that it's an actual real thing, and I'm not the only person that's going through it. And I've had a lot of inspiration from her. From the documentary and my ex-site coordinator, because she helped me find the light within myself that I was able to shed on the other young African-American females, as such as myself, because it's a lot of times, and it's still current, that my friends come to me with their problems, and I'm not even doing well. Yeah. That was actually, I was waiting on you to get done with your podcast with Anais. A girl who I'm mentoring, she told me about how she's being bullied currently. And I had been so busy with today and yesterday that I wasn't able to be at school because of this. And it's like, I can't really be on my phone because I'm worried about other things, other important things. But it's so hard to just, like, give someone advice because it's just like, I've been through it. And I'm going to tell you my story, but at the same time, it was so hard for me. And so she was telling me how she got into a fight today because the girls that were bothering her kept messing until she couldn't hold it in anymore. And I understood exactly where she was coming from. But she also told me that she had so many amazing opportunities in her future. And she knew that if she got into this conflict, that they would kind of slow down a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so I just gave her words of encouragement And I told her that you're a very intelligent Black American female, and you need to keep your head up. Don't worry about the things that have been said to you. Don't worry about any of this. And I told her that it is easier said than done, but you need to not worry about it. Leave it to the adults and your parents, because at the end of the day, you don't really know what's set for you. Mm-hmm. You may have heard things like, oh, this is an opportunity for you, but you have to do this. You don't know what's deep down in that. And so that's the light that I really want to shed on each and every person who's listening to this and out there. Like, you just, it's very hard to control the things that are going on in your brain. I have anxiety. I have, I panic a lot. And so I don't, one of my struggles is that I overthink things. Mm-hmm. And it's sometimes hard for me to get my mind straight and to know that I'm on the right path, but I feel like I'm doing something wrong. And so I need to fix things. I need to fix myself. I need to fit someone else's vision of me. And so that's one of the main things that I try to get across, is that you should always love yourself. You should never care what anyone says about you, because God made you and He makes no mistakes. Just because you don't have a toe, like, that doesn't matter. Like, you are uniquely made. And so that's mainly my story. My story is that I was bullied and I had self-esteem issues. I felt as if I was in love. And now I can say that was about like 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. This experience has dramatically changed my life from 6th grade to now my currently 8th grade year, being a part of CIS in Chicago. It's just amazing, and I don't know where I would be without this organization, because this is actually very beneficial to me as well as to other students around the world, because there is something so special within your psych coordinator. Everyone has different techniques on how they can teach you certain things, but for myself, I can honestly say that Artisha, she was very inspiring. She said that it doesn't matter how you look, it doesn't matter what hair color you have, it doesn't matter anything. What matters is that you love yourself the most. And so that has always stuck with me, that one thing I can always do is come to her. Mm-hmm. Even if she's not my sacred anymore, I know that I can always come to her and just be able to vent, because she helped me get to where I'm at now. And so I just want everyone else to know that if there is a caring adult such as the one that I had, then you should go for it. You shouldn't be quiet, or you shouldn't let anyone speak over you. You should use your voice, because I'm trying to tell you, your voice is powerful. It is. Like, it is very powerful. And I didn't know that until, a couple of years ago. And I'm just like, what? I just said that? Like, mm-hmm. I just couldn't believe it. So I just want everybody to know that you are loved. And if someone doesn't like you, if they don't love you, you have other people in your life. Mm-hmm. I'm here. Like, I don't got to know you. I don't have to have a history with you. It's about me understanding where you're coming from and me being able to agree to disagree respectfully. Mm-hmm. And to have a civilized conversation to get to understand your point of view, and to know that you can come to me at any time. And so that's pretty much it.
Awesome.
Thank you.
So I've got a couple of things that I want to follow up on. So the first one is, I think that you've probably heard that Communities and Schools is working on this new initiative that mm-hmm. is Diversity, Equity, and Inclusivity, DEI. Yeah. And it is specifically addressing a lot of those things that you were talking about, differences in people and people being excluded based on things such as being Black or being just basically not white, women, a lot of isms. So people who have transphobia, mm-hmm. Racism, ageism, that sort of thing. And then, so it's addressing it and then working on ways to approach it in order to improve the situation for students like yourself so that you're not having that be as big of a challenge in front of you? And it's something that we're working on across the nation at all of the CISs. So I know that I'm really excited about it. Are you going to be here tomorrow? Are you going back to school? Not sure. Well, if you are here tomorrow, you definitely should listen to, there's a panel that they'll be talking about it. I think that they call it like the DEI panel. And it's going to talk about it. But if you don't hear it, definitely subscribe to the podcast, because I did record with them earlier, and it was really powerful to hear the excitement and the passion and the motivation behind these adults who have been putting a lot of time into this and who realize how much of an issue it is for you guys and want to do something about it. So the other thing that I wanted to follow up on was, hopefully your former site coordinator will listen to this.
Yes,
is there
hopefully.
Anything that you would like to tell her?
She better listen to this.
I assume that she probably would.
So, well, if she is listening, I would want her to know to keep doing the things that she's doing, to keep working hard, and to keep having the mindset that you can inspire people in many ways that you didn't know that you could. Keep molding them into something uniquely that... into like a odd but uniquely formed shape. And she helped me with that. The day before yesterday, I texted her and I thanked her for everything that she has done for me, because without her, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be in the, I wouldn't have the mindset that I would have. So for her future job, which I'm sad about, but for her future job, I just want her to keep shedding the light that she has shed on me onto her other students, and to help them get out of whatever thing that they're going through.
Awesome. Something that we talk about sometimes in communities and schools is the ripple effect. And you were talking about how you are mentoring somebody right now. And I just think about that effect that that site coordinator had on you, and now how you're sharing that with other students and friends of yours. And I know that you kind of used the word, you said like uniquely, oddly shaped.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's just being authentic. And it's like the best thing ever is being your true self and all of the interesting things that come with it, and being in love with who you are. And I'm so excited that that is something that you are currently working on, that you have really achieved in quite a few ways. Mm-hmm. And to be 13 and already be so far into that is really, really impressive, because I know it's so hard when you're 13. I am not 13. I have been 13 for quite a while. And I know that I didn't actually love all of my unique self until I was in my mid-20s. And so I struggled with actually quite a few things that you mentioned as well: anxiety, depression, suicidal tendencies, that kind of thing. It breaks my heart. I hate whenever I find somebody else who has had those kind of feelings, because I know how much they hurt.
Yeah.
I know how scary they can be, and I know how exhausting they are. And I'm very, very glad that you are talking with people about them, that you are getting the support that you need to just become this amazing, rad woman that I see sitting before me.
Well, thank you.
You know, you are 13 and you are doing so many cool things, and I am so stoked for your future.
Thank you.
Do you have a couple of minutes for me to ask you some extra credit questions so we can wrap up this episode?
Absolutely.
Okay. So your first extra credit question is, what is your favorite song to sing to on the radio or Spotify playlist?
I gotta pull it out, the music out.
Oh, okay.
Gotta pull it out. I have so many. I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
Oh my gosh. Like, just like your current jam.
Current jam?
Yeah.
I would say, I was thinking about saying something, but I'm just like, I got so many songs on here, I don't know.
She's furiously scrolling through her
Apple
playlist.
I really am, like, oh, Jesus. I don't know.
If you had to pick, like, one song right now to, like, to play, what would it be?
I would want to hear.
Yeah. Don't play it though, because we don't have copyright.
No. I would. Oh my gosh, I don't know. I'm trying to keep it, you know, respectful, because I sometimes can't get out of hand with my music.
I understand. I do have my 13-year-old, but we have very similar tastes in music. So,
okay, I would say I don't.
How bad can it be?
It's very
it's a song.
Okay, I'm just gonna go with it.
If it's something your mom would be okay with, it should be fine.
Oh, she's fine with it. She loves the song, actually. Okay, so there's an artist. Her name is Dani Lee, I believe.
Okay.
And she has a song called Easy with Chris Brown, but I like the unplugged version when it's just her singing and it's the piano instead of the beats or whatever. And I like that song because it has a melody to it, and I'm very into piano. Once I get into high school, I want to learn piano. I actually want to learn piano now, but I'm unable to. So in my mosaic, on my mosaic, actually, there are music notes. And so for me, every music note that anyone plays, I can sense their emotions. And so when I learn how to play, I like to get my message out with every key that I play and put it all together and make a beautiful melody. And so with that song, it just has something. It got a rhythm to it.
So why can't you learn piano now?
Because I don't have access to a computer. I mean, not a computer, a piano.
A piano?
Yeah, and also my mom, she wants me to dance to it for her birthday. Her birthday is October
12th. Oh, my gosh.
So, October 10th or 12th, my mind is everywhere. I cannot remember anything right now.
Oh, poor mom. No offense, mom.
Right, I'm sometimes sorry, mother.
Sometimes it's hard to remember y'all's birthdays.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also amazing. And I'm going to look into that song. But I got to tell you, like, your whole, like, vibe totally changed whenever you started talking about music.
It did.
Yeah, you've got to get into it.
Music fixes everything for me.
Yeah, your whole, like, everything changed. It was really, I'm wondering if whenever I go back and listen to this podcast recording, if it's going to be something that I can tell audibly or if other people will be able to tell, because your whole vibe, it just
made me really happy. Like, I love music and I love piano. Piano is one of my passions. Like, being a motivational speaker, that's the highest, but under that, I really want to play piano because that's an escape for me. Mm-hmm. When I listen and when I see others play, it's like you can tell their vibe. It's mm-hmm. like, you know, they move their body a little bit, they swaying side to side, and it's like you can feel the energy. Mm-hmm. You can feel the energy with it. And when I'm having a bad day, I'll just listen to it. And I'm just like, I cannot wait, because that's something that is a stress reliever for me.
Oh, that's honestly awesome. That's awesome. I love that you have that outlet, at least the inspiration aspect of it and the dream aspect and the goal aspect of it. That's really fantastic. Okay, second extra credit question is, if you could have one superpower, what would it be?
Same as Anais, I want to be so smart. Like, yeah. I know I'm smart now, but I want to be very intelligent to the point where you can't tell me anything. I want to help any and every person. I want to tutor someone. I want to be the best high in pay. Honestly, I don't even care about the money. I just want to be the most knowledgeable.
Yeah.
Because it's sometimes I'm just like, Najee, you know you got it, but it's like, it's something blocking it, you know, with personal issues, stress and everything.
But that's human.
And I mean, I know I'm not saying that I want that to be taken away mm-hmm. from my smartness, but it's some things I'm just like, I know that I can do better. And with this superpower, I really need it at sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, just to have unlimited knowledge and be able to do all the things that comes with it, you know, that origami crane is really cool. I wish I knew how to fold one. Oh, bam. Now you know how to fold one.
Or, according to my calculations, what she said was incorrect.
Right. Yeah. Or like to be instantly able to play the piano and just play it at great lengths and to just, mm-hmm. oh my goodness. Yeah. That would be amazing.
You know, calculate certain things like that.
See, I totally feel you on that, because I you know, my major is in communications. My master's degree is in English. I'm in a field that I do those things. I do not have a mathematical background. I am terrible at numbers. So it's always been a struggle. So being able to have ultimate knowledge and be able just to not have the struggle would be wonderful.
Yeah.
So your final question is, what is the number one reason that you feel people should get involved with communities and schools?
My number one reason I feel that people should get involved with communities and schools is because it is very beneficial to yourself and to those around you. I say that because although you may think that this organization is just for people that, you know, want to go out and explore things, it's not that. It is an outlet for you to be able to get over the things that you have been through in the past and the things that you are currently going through in the present. And for myself, I can say that this has absolutely been a pleasure. I'm very grateful to have had this opportunity and still be able to go on and have my story live on, even though it kind of, this whole, you know, traveling and everything, it kind of may die down, but my stories will live forever. And that's one thing that you should always look for.
Yeah. Well, even as your stories move into further and further into your past, mm-hmm. They're still a part of you.
Yeah.
They're still part of who you are today and who you will become.
Exactly.
And hopefully, you know, people will continue to hear your story for the first time, and hopefully that story will continue to have an inspirational and impactful impact. That's a terrible use of words. It will have an inspirational impact, let's just say that, on people as they hear your story.
I hope so.
I guarantee so that it will. All right, well, we'll go ahead and wrap up this podcast because we did go over time just a little bit.
Okay.
But I do thank you so much for taking time.
Thank you. I do appreciate it a lot.
Yeah, you're welcome. It was a pleasure to talk to you. And
same here.
We'll go ahead and close it out. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Letters from the Lunchroom. You can find more information about CIS of MidAmerica at cismidamerica.org. If you are interested in the What We Are Made Of project, please check out whatwearemadeof.us. Make sure to subscribe to this podcast and follow us on social media at CIS MidAmerica. Until next time, class is dismissed.